Megabus Diaries Chapter 2, Sex and the Over 40s. I pay for the coffee, double click, medical details, reset, wallet, bank card, double click. I extend my arm slowly towards the cafe owner. She looks at me with a CRM-approved smile. Our eyes meet across the reclaimed timber bar. My phone moves towards the sculpted curves of the payment device and, in a moment of economic fervour, our devices touch. Beep. Cheers. Bye. I grab my bag and scoot out of the door. No rosy glow here. No after-payment chat. Just wham-bam coffee man. And I'm out of here. I'm back on the street where the ecstasy, red seal and pink champagne have been replaced with CBD vapes and espresso martinis. I step backwards as a scooter ninja materialises and whizzes past. I scurry across the road in front of a Deliveroo turquoise box-carrying frontline superhero of the online delivery culture. Then I'm stalled by an Uber driver. I take a moment to ponder how my progress is being curtailed by a tattooed pulled pork brisket sandwich street food entrepreneur as he orders taxis and teriyaki salmon in quick succession from a canal-side flat. The Uber melts away in a haze of self-importance, and I can see my bus pulling up to the allocated bay, slowly manoeuvring into the space like Darth Vader's shuttle, come to impose its presence on the poor inhabitants of a peaceful planet. The Megabus is here. The driver steps off and, with the deft precision of a cabaret magician, flips a cigarette into his mouth, lights it, inhales deeply, and exhales all in one fluid motion. I'm certain he's been holding his breath all the way from London, just waiting for that smoky blast of heaven to fill his lungs. Only now can he communicate with other human beings. Only now is he complete. I've never been a heavy smoker. Being born in the 70s, I have, of course, smoked. It was a rite of passage at school. But I've only ever been what is referred to as a social smoker. What this really means is you smoke when you're around people with the required paraphernalia, but you don't smoke enough to warrant buying it yourself. Of course, like so many of my age and experience, I favoured the hand-rolled cigarette, as opposed to the straight. The machine-rolled cigarette was somehow representative of the oppressive neo-fascist Tory regime, which held the land in an iron grip of jobless and socially restrictive lawmaking. Rolling tobacco, on the other hand, was made by the Peace Pixies in the crystal caves of the Rizla King. Still with me? I approach the bus driver with a cheery smile, and I'm just about to engage in the usual chatter about departure, luggage and expected time of arrival. However, he simply stamps out his cigarette and flips the door lever, causing it to unfold and close with a soft pneumatic hiss. "Excuse me," I venture. He turns around to face me, and I see the tiredness in his eyes. This is a man who has driven for years. He's seen it all. Hen parties, stag do's, school trips, and every form of bodily fluid staining the seats and running down the aisle while he barrels down the motorways of our green and pleasant land, cursing them all. All that's kept him going is the thought of one day packing it all in and booking a cruise so he can go and fuck someone else's working day up, with unrealistic expectations and surly demands. "The next driver will be here in 5 minutes, pal," he says flatly, and walks away like a man condemned. Perhaps this was his last cigarette. I feel for him. I'm struggling with what to do with the rest of my life, but at least I have that choice. This guy is testament to everything we were rebelling against. A lifetime tied to a machine, in this case almost literally. I stand, slightly disorientated by my own thoughts, and look around the bus station. There are bags of all hues and chattering characters in clean and crisp coats. There's a comforting aroma of warm pastries and hot coffee. The ebb and flow of life, harmonised in one place. There's actually a peaceful and ever so slightly charming ambience to the whole scene. This is simply not fair. I want it to be a smoky, angry hellhole of indifference and human suffering. I want to be able to look around me and feel justified in my vitriol and critical aggression. Fuckers. Passive, aggressive fuckers. Deliberately being bloody nice about everything, just to highlight me as some grumpy throwback to an era they could not hope to understand. In hindsight, I should have had the chamomile. I'm now scraping the caffeine ceiling, and it's not pleasant. Calm down. Breathe. Anxiety. She looks nice. I smile and wave. She's coming over. More anxiety. Breathe. And? Are you getting this one, she asks. I am, for London, I reply. Wow, what conversation I have. Cheers, she nods, a little uncertainly, and goes back to her phone screen. I am empty. I have no thoughts. It's actually a meditative space, being here, at the bus station, waiting to embark on a new journey. I think back to the dereliction of career and marriage and estranged children, and wonder just what the actual fuck happened. We were young, we had kids, and now we are the midlife crisis. I remember a poem from my youth by Peter Porter, called Sex in the Over 40s, and nostalgia is eating me alive. I am stuck. This is the trap we're now in. My generation, that is. We were so radical, and now the world just seems so mundane. Everything is normal now. Eating your cat, giving blowjobs in the Vatican, injecting your gran with Marmite. Practically anything you can think of has now been done, filmed, broadcast, and consumed in some form or another. Jermaine Greer is now being branded with a new form of sexism by men who used to be women. Fuck me, it's got confusing. I hold on to my burgundy cabin bag by the extendable handle and think about the forthcoming trip. I'm going to see my old pal from back in the day. We were good friends at art college, and I haven't seen him for over 20 years. We lost touch for some time while he was working in South America with MSF, but now he's back due to a knee injury. I'm nervous to see him again, excited as well, but nervous too. We haven't seen each other since 1998. Jesus, 25 years. What have I been doing? I think the new driver's coming, says my new friend. All of a sudden, I'm a 13-year-old schoolboy. I hope she sits near me. Oh, good, is all I can muster. Again, Casa fucking Nova. The new driver is a generously formed, cheerful mid-30s brunette smiling woman. She exudes cheerfulness and engages with the excitement of a Jack Russell puppy. She won a first with honours from Millennial University, where she read emotionally intelligent customer inclusion studies and played on the Quidditch team for Hufflepuff. Her voice has a warmth and depth to it, complemented by the Lancashire accent of rolling R's and everyone is love. I can only assume that the nicotine-stained stroke victim, who had been driving before, has now been put down or been put out to pasture at the Reg Varney care home for yesteryear. Baggage is stowed, driver boards and installs herself. Tickets are produced, and the first passengers begin embarking. Of course, the first ones seat themselves as near the front as possible and smile with a smug contentment at everyone who has to walk past them. These are the Megabus royalty, the season ticket holders who love the service, write reviews on TripAdvisor and tell their friends. Some of them will have plastic merchandise casts of the fat little yellow git that is emblazoned on the side of every bus, and also waves at you from the back as if you give a shit as you drive in your mega car up and down the country. We are the megabuses, and we are consoled by the fact that you car drivers have to stare at this cheerful, yellow, fat little twat as you trawl behind us bemoaning the fact that coaches are allowed to go in the outside lane too. Suck it up, car people. I paid £7 for this ticket, and I am getting my money's worth. The stage 2 passenger is the close to the toilet or back of bus passenger. They are very specific about this. They crave both solitude and the close proximity of lavatories. One should avoid all contact with them. They say that they're only here because their car is in the menders, but the fact is they haven't had a car for years, not since their wife or husband left them and cleaned them out, which caused the drinking to spiral out of control and they lost their license. Warning. If you should engage with a stage 2 passenger, end it quickly, otherwise you'll be drawn into a personal narrative of woe that will last from Manchester to Milton Keynes, leaving you only a short time to recover before you hit the tube system and have to pretend you don't exist. Stage 3 passengers are where I come in. We are the dominant strategic traveller. Not alphas, that's the stage 1 traveller. They are linear thinkers. We are high-functioning betas who make choices based on a greater degree of complexity. We are the megabus systems thinkers. We seek out empty double seats, knowing that the stage 4 travellers will be less dominant betas, and therefore on our wavelength. but not as overbearing as the alphas, nor as unsettling as the stage 2 isolationists. It's a bit of a game of Russian roulette, because you could end up with a stage 5er if you are unlucky. I'll get to them in a moment. You see, the stage 4 strategy is to allow the lead beaters to secure good quality and safe double seats, so that they, the stage 4s, can move in on this territory. They're clever too, because they use their beta nature to appear unimposing and less of a threat to your newly established domain. You have to be careful of the stage 5 imposter though, who will mimic the stage 4 behaviour, but turn out to be a total nutbag. Both the stage 3 and the stage 4 traveller will avoid both stage 1, too smug, and stage 2, too isolated. If the stage 4s are really thinking ahead, they will take a seat next to a safe stage 3 passenger, because they know at this point double seat choice involves a higher chance of stage 4 and stage 5 juxtaposition. This is my standard play. Think of it as the nice bloke gambit. My line of thought is broken. I notice my new friend from the bus line is a stage 4 passenger. This is interesting. However, I also notice that there's a woman in the seat in front of me. Female stage 4s tend to gravitate to female stage 3s for safety, so this could be an issue. There is also a double seat empty behind me, which could provide a kind of stage 4 bonus ball should she wish to take it, but it's risky. I've done my best to position myself away from the red flag passengers. Young men in combat style clothing, anyone wearing football shorts, old women with multiple bags, and anyone with personal hygiene issues. But this is the megabus, the home of the covert fruitcake. She could be a fruitcake. If she is, then my strategy has left me wide open to attack from mentalism. But that's a weakness of the nice bloke gambit. I look around the bus nervously. They could be hiding anywhere. I catch a glimpse of a man near the front who is surveilling in a similar manner. Yes, brother, we are the same. You just have to hope that you've played your hand well. Seating on the megabus is like a game of social poker. Here she comes. She's looking. She's slowing down. No, she doesn't like that one. Too close to the toilet and the stage 2 danger zone. This might not be her first rodeo. Nope, not there. The lady is clearly going to tell you about our cat for the next 150 miles. She's about to sit next to the woman in front of me. Then she sees me. Hi again. She smiles at me and sits down in the seat behind me. Damn, I can't work on the longitudinal. Everyone knows the longitudinal chat is for players only, and I am not a player. That's alpha shit. I just want someone to talk to. I need a travel buddy. The sit next to I can work with, or even the aisle chat. I love the aisle chat, with the lean and the armrest and the sideways smile. Beautiful stuff. But the sit behind, no can do amigo. Finally, we have the stage 5 dregs. These are usually alcoholic child murderers or deranged in some way. They will come running for the bus at the last minute, having just engaged in a very public domestic dispute in the queue at Greg's. They come clutching a brace of steak slices and an orange Lucozade. Everyone is their mate. All right, mate? Yes, mate. Thing is, mate. Mate. Got a light, mate? Not my problem, mate. And so on. This is just one type of stage fiver. There are others, and no doubt we'll have the pleasure of their company later. One thing you need to know about the stage fiver is that they prey on the weak. Do not make eye contact. This is crucial. If you make any kind of contact at all, they will see this as a weakness and be on you. Is there anyone sitting there, mate? I look up and I know I've made a fatal error. Well played, my stage 5 friend. You caught me out with the old empty seat ploy. You could have sat there and said nothing, as it's clear to anyone with even a modicum of perceptive power that no one is sitting there. But you asked, didn't you? You had to ask because you knew that I had to reply. You prey on the polite. Other people's civility is your weapon. Now we are bonded for life, and I'm ruined. He sits down smiling and awkwardly removes the orange screw top, while still encumbered by two grease-stained paper bags. I love a steak slice, mate. I smile a weak acknowledgement. The bus begins to reverse and a wave of boredom sweeps over us all. This is a curious phenomenon which applies only to coach travel. In air travel, for example, one is endlessly irritated by the length of time between boarding and finally leaving the tarmac. Once in the air, you can relax. On a coach, the reverse is true. As soon as you begin moving on a coach, You just want it to end. I feel a hand on my shoulder and a voice says, "Sorry, I'm Jessica. I hope you don't mind, but I get so bored on these trips. Do you mind if I introduce myself now? Because, well, I'll probably end up burning your ear off later. Once I run out of books and iPods and all the other bullshit you have to do on these things." Oh my God. And I mean, OMG. Holy fuckola. She's a bloody player. Longitudinal chat with a through chair handshake. This is unheard of. I could well be making megabus history here. All of a sudden, I love the world. The cold grey skies are starting to splinter with shreds of light blue. The buskers are out on Market Street. And the crazy cycling raster will be doing the rounds, blasting out Toots and the Maytals and Jimmy Cliff. While the street drinkers in Piccadilly Gardens playfully kick the shit out of each other. All is well in the world, and I am leaving Manchester, and I am going to London on the megabus.